Have we got a reader? If not, that might. I'm ready. Doesn't look like we have. That's fine. We've got two readings tonight. One's from Isaiah 55, so if you find that quickly. And then there's a New Testament reading as well in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. And while you're finding that, let me give you the context of what we're doing over these next few weeks. We're looking at a series as we move towards Easter, and we're looking at the cross, and we're looking forward to when Jesus provided the most profound sacrifice for all of the world. And we're going to look at a number of topics, and we're going to grapple with what that means for us. We're going to reflect and allow God to speak to us as we approach that day. Tonight's subject that's being given to me to look at is the whole area of repentance, repenting. And what does that mean? Sometimes I get the good subjects. Sometimes I get the harder ones. Let me, I cheated. I printed it on a piece of paper, but it is from the Bible, I promise. That way I didn't have to put my finger in two places. Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 9 says this. Come, all you are thirsty. Come to the waters, and you who have no money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend money on what is not bread, and your labour on what does not satisfy? Listen, listen to me, and eat what is good, and your soul will delight in the richest of fare. Give ear and come to me, hear me, that your soul may live. I will make an everlasting covenant with you, my faithful love promised to David. See, I have made him a witness to the peoples, a leader and a commander of the peoples. Surely you will summon nations you know not, and the nations that do not know you will hasten to you, because of the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, for he has endowed you with splendor. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call on him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the evil man his thoughts. Let him turn to the Lord and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will freely pardon. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, neither are my ways your ways, declares the Lord. As high as the heavens are above the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways and my thoughts than your thoughts. And then turning to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 from verse 1. It says, warnings from Israel's history. For I do not want you to be ignorant of the fact, brothers, that our forefathers were under the cloud and that they all passed through the sea. They were baptized into Moses in the cloud and the sea. They all ate the same spiritual food and drank from the same spiritual drink, for they drank from the spiritual rock that accompanied them, and that rock was Christ. Nevertheless, God was not pleased with most of them. Their bodies were scattered over the desert. Now these things occurred as examples to keep us from setting our hearts on evil things as they did. Do not be idolaters as some of them were. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and got up to indulge in pagan revelry. We should not commit sexual immorality as some of them did. And in one day, 23,000 of them died. We should not test the Lord as some of them did and were killed by snakes. And do not grumble as some of them did and were killed by the destroying angel. These things happened to them as examples and were written down as warnings for us, on whom the fulfillment of the age has come. So if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up under it. The songs that we sung at the start of the service tonight all speak about a sacrifice, about the sacrifice of Jesus, about him going to the cross. Now, most of us would have heard this time and time again. But I just want you to allow the Spirit tonight to speak to you through what Jesus did. You see, Jesus had to come because sin to Father God is the most obnoxious, ugly, wretched thing. It was so wretched and so ugly in his holiness, he cannot look upon it. And because of that, and when we live in our own ways, we build a barrier between us and God. And that barrier separated even the people of Israel from their God. Warnings in Corinthians there. They indulged in sexual immorality, and in one day, 23,000 died. You see, sin at the very heart hurts our Father in heaven. It hurts him so much that he has to deal with it. He cannot allow it to continue forever. And so he sends Jesus into the world to deal once and for all sin, for all mankind, that on that Good Friday, 2,000 years ago, Jesus, who didn't defend himself in any way, freely and of his own will, let them put him upon that cross. And as he hung there, as he suffered, his words to his Father was, "Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing." And then Jesus, after a while, said, "It is finished." What was finished? Well, the Bible teaches us that Jesus suffered as God because only God has the power to save. Jesus suffered as God on the cross because only God has the power to save. But he also suffered as a man because man, and only man, had a price to pay. In that act, Jesus said, "I am aligning myself to you, my creative, my loving beings. I am aligning myself to you, and I'm allowing myself to be a sacrifice once and for all." Jesus suffered as God because only God has the power to save. Jesus suffered as a man because only man owed the debt. You see, often we think light of our sin, don't we? I did say to my daughter I was going to share a little story about her, and she said, "Oh, Dad, don't do that," but I'm going to anyway. And she can beat me up later. It's not a bad one. But when she was growing up and when she was little, we told her all of the stories of the Bible between my wife and myself because we wanted our children to know what we believed and what made us tick. We didn't want them to think it was just a Sunday thing. It was a life thing. And we wanted them to actually grow up in that way. And the one thing that she always used to say was, "Dad, you need to forgive me because God does." And she's right, isn't she? God forgives our sins. But it says something else, doesn't it? It says when we repent. And repenting doesn't mean just saying, "I'm sorry," so that I can get out of the punishment. Repenting is when we recognize how ugly our sin is, how painful it is to Father God, how painful it was to Jesus when he hung on the cross. You see, sin, its very nature, wants to destroy us. It wants us to feel satisfied, and it wants to take us away from living for God. We live in an age, don't we, of accommodation. By that I mean, we live in an age where the world tells us we're to be accepting. We're to accept everyone. And do you know what? I think that's true. I think we should accept everyone. Everyone that wants to come into this place, we should be welcoming and accepting. But welcoming and accepting the individual doesn't mean that I accept all of the behaviours that sometimes they live out. My daughter, when she was asking for forgiveness, I forgave her. But did I accept the behaviour that I was telling her off for? Would I accept that behaviour the next time it came out? No. Because for her good, it was better that she was formed and changed. And as a father, I would not have been doing my job if I hadn't rebuked her and corrected her. Our Father in heaven will rebuke us and correct us. The reality is that almost 50% of the New Testament, if not maybe 50%, is about correcting the church. Not correcting the community out there. It's about correcting us. It's about talking to our hearts. And I want to talk tonight not about a repentance that takes us into the kingdom of God, albeit that is important. But I want to talk about us as the people of God. Do we take our spiritual walk with God seriously? Or do we sometimes play with one foot in the camp of the world and one foot in the camp of God? And if I'm honest, sometimes I've got 2 feet in the camp of the world. So I'm not saying, are you walking that way sometimes, or making a mistake and walking into that way? Because I do it. What I'm saying is where is your attitude? Where is your heart? Is your heart like David's, who blew it time and again, but God said, here's a man whose heart is after my own heart? Because God saw something in him and saw that he loved Father God, and because of that, called out, here's a man who's after my own heart. Who wouldn't want to hear that when they meet Jesus? A man or a woman after my own heart. We all want to hear that, don't we? John Wesley once said, give me 10 men that hate nothing but sin and love nothing but God, and we will change the world. Jesus had, didn't he? 11 disciples in the end, and they added a 12th. And what happened? They hated sin. They loved the world. And they loved God. And through loving God, they loved on the world and took Jesus wherever they went. And what did they do? They transformed the known built up world. They transformed the world. You and I would not be here if it weren't for those disciples. You and I would not be here. John Wesley saw the value in hating sin and loving God. And if you give me 10 men or women that love God and hate sin, we will change the world. I want to say there's more than that here tonight. Who wants to be a world changer? Stuart, do you want to be a world changer? Find 10 men and women. Scott, do you want to be a world changer? Get people around you. I want to be a world changer. Have I changed the world? Not enough. Because at the heart of me, there's fear. There's trepidation. Would I stand here in my own strength? No way. Would I stand here in Christ Jesus every time? Do I always get it right when I'm up here? I'll leave you to be the judge. But what I say is, if we take sin seriously, if we repent of what we do on a daily basis and ask God to make us different, we will change the world. I've heard it said that the church is full of hypocrites. And that's because the world looks at the church and says, well, they say one thing and they do another. But I want to say, we're not full of hypocrites, but we're full of repentant sinners. And what's the difference? Well, hypocrites are people who say they're something they never intend to be. Christians get it wrong. We want to be what we desire to be, and we sometimes get it wrong. And when we do, we're to be repentant sinners, to repent before our God. Hypocrites pretend to be what they never intend to be, but Christians who stumble ask for forgiveness. It warned us, didn't it, about if you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. I remember a kids' chorus from years ago on that song. And those verses were one of the first ones I learnt as a teenager, because I heard this children's chorus on it and it just put it and subliminally planted it in my mind. If you think you're standing firm, be careful you don't fall. It was an Ishmael song. It was brilliant. Because what it told me was that as a Christian, even if I've made a decision for God, I still need to be careful. I still need to walk with God. Because you see, his thoughts are not our thoughts. His ways are higher than our ways. And he asks us to ask for wisdom and to come to him. Jesus, at the start of his ministry in Mark's Gospel, Mark chapter 1, said this. The kingdom of God is near. Repent and believe the good news. At the heart of Jesus' ministry, he called people to repent. Jesus was in all ways accommodating and accepting of those that recognized their need. He wasn't looking for perfect followers. He was looking for available people who wanted to have a relationship with him. Our Father God is not looking for people who think they're perfect. He's looking for people that are available. He's looking for people that want to walk with him day by day. He's looking for people that are honest, that have integrity at their heart. And he wants to lift us up. Why? So that the name of Jesus is lifted up. And when we lift the name of Jesus up, who's glorified? It tells us that the Father who sent him is glorified. So I just want to ask you a couple of questions in closing, and then maybe we'll have a few moments just to respond. The first question is this. Do you struggle to admit that sometimes you get it wrong? Do you have pride in your life over whatever that might be? If that's you tonight, may I ask you, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, to give that to God, to repent of pride. You see, pride is the carbon monoxide of our sin. All sin starts with putting ourselves at the centre rather than putting Jesus in his right place. So if you're struggling with pride, tell God. He knows anyway. It won't be a surprise, but he wants to hear. He wants to deal with it. He wants to come by his Spirit and fill you and strengthen you and to give you that strength to resist. No temptation has seized you except what is common to man. God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that then you can stand up under it. Some of you would have been struggling with the same temptation and sin for a period of time. You've tried whatever method you can to get rid of it. And each time you come back and you feel that you're failing your Father, by His Spirit, He can deal with that. Is that you tonight? Do you struggle with temptation? There's nothing wrong with being tempted. Jesus was tempted in every way. But do you struggle to such a point of allowing that temptation to tip you over into doing your own thing, to ignoring God and rebelling Him? And the Bible tells us that's sin. If you've got a sin in your life that you want to deal with, tonight's the time of that. Our hearts are deceitful. They will tell us that it's all right. It's only a small thing. I don't really need to be serious. And if that was true, why did Jesus have to go to the cross? Jesus went to the cross for my sin. He went to the cross for your sin. Because it was that serious. Believe, repent, and come to me. Will the band come up? While the band coming up, as I say, there's a space here. I haven't said, and I will say this again because I say this regularly, because quite often we go over some fundamental stuff. I haven't said anything that's revolutionary today. But it's important stuff. It's important that we deal with what's going on in our hearts. That we allow God to change us and to transform us from the inside out. One of the testimonies that I share sometimes when I go to other churches is when I was a teenager and I became a Christian, God changed quite a lot in my life like that. A lot of the sin, a lot of the things that needed to be dealt with, God just went. The temptations never came. It was brilliant. But then there were other areas that God didn't deal with straight away. And actually, I find myself sometimes, even now, so many years later, struggling with some of those areas. I don't know why God allows it. Maybe it's so that I'd be humbled and I'd come to Him. But what God doesn't want is for us to be crushed under the weight of our sin. If you feel crushed under the weight of anything that you've done, it's not of God. You see, God comes to convict us, to release us. He says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus. There's only freedom in Jesus. And He's given us freedom so that we can live life for a purpose. And that purpose is to glorify Him. So if you want to respond tonight while the band play this song, then there's space here at the front, there's space at the back, there's elders here tonight, and there's ministers here tonight. And we'll be happy to pray with you. But what I'd ask you to do is not go away knowing that there's something that needs to be dealt with. You see, there's 50, 60 of us tonight. That's more than 10. We can change the world if we're serious about our walk with Jesus. If we hate our sin and we love our God.
Thank you.
Jude. To him who is able to keep you from falling and to present you before his glorious presence without fault and with great joy. To the only God, our Saviour, be glory, majesty, power and authority through Jesus Christ our Lord, before all ages, now and forevermore. Amen.
Just close, finish one more song.